bust on over to fanexchange.com for a safe, easy, and reliable experience. A great experience. Tickets purchased on Fan Exchange are always guaranteed. There's no getting to the gate and then worrying about getting in. Fan Exchange gets you closer to the action. Find the very best seats at the best prices at fanexchange.com. Use the promo code ROME. Again, promo code ROME and get 50% off the service fees on your next purchase. Fan Exchange, we have tickets.
From New York, this is the Jim Rome Show with guest host Bill Ryder on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome into the show. Bill Ryder with you, filling in for Jim. Thank you for hanging out. As always, we are coming to you live from the Quicken Loans Studios. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. As I said an hour ago at the start of the program, awesome. A thrill, an honor to be filling in for Jim. When I was a writer, when I got into television and radio, Jim was, to me, like he has been to a lot of media guys, instrumental in the luck and the success and the opportunities that I've had. And to be sitting here in this chair with Jim's name behind me over my left shoulder on CBS Sports Network and CBS Sports Radio is for me, it's a bucket list thing. And I'm very appreciative of everything Jim's done for me. And it's a very cool moment for me to be doing the show and appreciate you hanging out. And we have planned for you a great rest of the program. Brady Quinn, my colleague at CBS Sports HQ, Streaming Sports Network, is going to join me about 35 minutes from now. And we'll talk the topic I'm about to get into, pressure on the quarterbacks this year in the National Football League that is the most and for whom and why. And we'll just bounce around the NFL a little bit. And you've heard today the news that's still emerging from Brett McMurphy about allegations. He says, Brett, that he has text messages proving Urban Meyer lied about his knowledge, Urban's knowledge at Ohio State, of allegations of domestic abuse against one of Urban Meyer's assistant coaches, and photos showing and documenting the abuse. And Brett will be on the show in about an hour and 10 minutes. And so straight from the guy who has reported and broken this story here on the Jim Rome Show, will tell you what's actually going on, what it means, what it doesn't mean, what Brett does or does not have. But I want to start with this hour, some NFL talk. It feels great that the National Football League is back. Preseason game tomorrow, Hall of Fame game tomorrow between the Ravens and my Bears team. And no, the Ravens may not be the most interesting football team in the NFL this upcoming season. And while a lot of prognosticators are high on the Bears, look at their roster, think that there's a chance for them to make a nice leap, a nice jump. As a Bears fan who's gone through the Jay Cutler years, I'm going to withhold any optimism. But I will say this. Those two quarterbacks, Joe Flacco and Mitchell Trubisky, are both under a ton of pressure. For Flacco, very successful career, has made a lot of money, has that Super Bowl run, hasn't been dynamic since that Super Bowl run he got paid. Remember, in that Super Bowl for the Ravens, dude threw 12 touchdowns on a single pick. He went into closer mode, into franchise quarterback mode. Remember all the conversations about whether he was an elite QB? Well, fast forward. A, he wasn't, and B, we don't even know if he'll be the QB in Baltimore in week 10, let alone 2019, Lamar Jackson on his heels in a big way. That's a lot of pressure. These guys are prideful. Quarterbacks, and Brady Quinn will talk about it when he's on the program later this hour, they feel that stress. They strut around like they own the place because they want to own the place. And for Trubisky, the question is, does he belong in the National Football League? To say nothing of, should the Bears last year have moved up to number two, leapfrogging Deshaun Watson, leapfrogging Patrick Mahomes, and we'll see what he's about in Kansas City, and made Trubisky their quarterback of the future? We'll find out. Ton of pressure. And it got me to thinking about this, just all of the scrutiny, all the pressure. Who are the quarterbacks at the most pressure-packed job in sports who are going to have the most stressful and important and pressure-filled moments this season? Who are the guys under the most pressure? A lot of names spring to mind. I'm going to give you the ones that I think are in the conversation. I'll probably forget somebody. And so if you want to weigh in, if you think I've missed someone, love to hear from you. It's a different phone number today with Jim out. Bill Ryder filling in. Thanks for being here. 855-212-4CBS is the number. 855-212-4CBS. I think Blake Bortles is near the top of that list. Guy makes a lot of money. He is a mediocre quarterback at best. He was fine in the postseason last year. But that is a Jaguars team that is built for a run. Easy to forget now with everything that happened last year and the Eagles finally getting the best of the Patriots in Super Bowl 52 in Minneapolis. That Jags team was a half away from making a Super Bowl. That team has not markedly changed this year. That defense is still dynamic. And they should be able to take that experience and that run. And I'm sure some of the jitters and some of the mistakes and turn it, you would think, into a catalyst and an understanding of what they need to do differently next time they are that close to a Super Bowl. So you look at the odds in Vegas and you would expect, oh, yeah, one of them favorites. They're not. They're the 10th most likely NFL team to win the Super Bowl, according to the very smart people in Las Vegas, Nevada. They're 22-1. I'm not going to lie to you. I never will. Not here and not on my regular show, right at the news, 6 o'clock Eastern here on CBS Sports Radio. I've been known to put a bet or two down. I might put two or three down. I might on the Jags, but I'm pausing for the same reason, obviously, the same exact reason that Vegas is. I don't believe in Bortles. I've seen and you've seen teams win the Super Bowl with a mediocre quarterback. It's happened. And that team, that Jags team, this year's Jags team, has a great running game, a stellar defense, and a better offensive line than Bortles would lead you to believe. His performance. It's his moment. And he doesn't have to be the second coming of insert your favorite QB here. It doesn't have to be Peyton Manning back in the day, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, Deshaun Watson, even Alex Smith. Alex Smith more than a game manager. He's just got to not suck. Easier said than done. He's got to live up to it. Maybe the guy I should put at the top of this list. And a dude that's in an interesting situation. I'm not a big believer yet in Kirk Cousins. But I'm also not a doubt. I want to see it. $80-some million guaranteed is not just the pressure to live up to the contract and a Vikings team also close last year. But this is an opportunity for Cousins to recalibrate, to rewrite how contracts are done in the National Football League, particularly that position. $86, $87 million, 20 guaranteed, 30 guaranteed, 40 guaranteed, cool. Not that big a deal. Bad quarterbacks have gotten that kind of money. Matt Castle did all those years ago in Kansas City. All of it guaranteed? 3 years, every dime, every dollar? Cousins needs to be the savior that he got paid to be. And it's not going to be easy because there's this question that hangs over both Cousins and Minnesota and Washington. When Cousins was in D.C., was he a great quarterback in a brutal organization that held him back, and that's why he's never won a playoff game, and that's why he's only played in one, and that's why in big moments, maybe if you look at it from a certain angle, he's faded and hasn't been able to handle it? Or is he just a guy who's not that good, and it's part of the reason that team struggled? We're going to find out in Minnesota. They just gave Stephon Diggs a ton of money. They're all in. You're going to pay that quarterback. You better make sure that the receiver he's going to be paired with, I like Diggs, as a guy and as a talent, is ready to go. It's a really good defense, but it's not going to be as easy as people think. It's easy to dismiss Case Keenum as, oh, yeah, I mean, Keenum, you know, kind of rode that defense and, you know, a lot of weapons. Case Keenum last year was pressured the third most number of times of any quarterback in the National Football League. That is not a very good offensive line. It is not a markedly improved offensive line. Kirk Cousins is going to get knocked on his grill a lot. Kirk Cousins is going to have to stand in the pocket and deal with the pressure, the actual pressure from defenses around him and the weight of that contract. And if he is everything that Minnesota paid for, they're going to be real good. They're going to be a Super Bowl contender. They're going to push a Packers team that's awesome, has a quarterback in Aaron Rodgers, that's not going to feel an ounce of pressure. He's not the best of all time. Hard for me to say as a Bears fan, but Aaron Rodgers is the most talented. But if Kirk Cousins isn't that, if he's just a loser who just got paid like a winner, it's going to be ugly. And it's going to be ugly for 3 years and the life of that contract. I brought up Patrick Mahomes, and I think, and I was around, I was at the Super Bowl like everybody was, Jim was, everybody was, when the news came out that Alex Smith was going to Washington, musical chairs at the quarterback position. Side note, Cousins was walking around the moment that story broke like he owned the Super Bowl. Good for that guy. But Patrick Mahomes was maybe second for peacocking in a good way. He's got the confidence. You talk to people in that organization, and I lived in Kansas City for 7 years, worked at the newspaper there, the Kansas City Star, wrote a lot about the Chiefs. They love his talent. We always throw these comparisons around, and we look back, and they're stupid. Oh, this is the next LeBron. It's the next Michael. It's the next Aaron Rodgers. So I understand. Caveat. Got it. Asterisk. They really think he's the next next Brett Favre. They do. They think his arm, his confidence, his swagger, where he can put the ball into spaces and holes that most QBs can't see, let alone have the guts to pull the trigger on, let alone execute. They love what he's about. They won 10 games last year. The AFC West, and I was wrong last year on this, I think I'll be right this year, they should be interesting. They should be pretty good. Certainly, there'll be an interesting storyline. And we just talked to Tom Telesco here on the Jim Rome Show, GM of the Chargers, 20 minutes ago. Chargers are a talented football team. But the Chiefs won 10 games last year. They chose to move to their quarterback of the future. They moved up in the draft to get Mahomes. A lot of pressure. And there's another name. And I want to get your calls at 855-212-4CBS. I see a lot of you calling in. And again, 855-212-4CBS, if you want to give your perspective on quarterbacks who are going to feel the most pressure. And by the way, whether you think they're going to meet it, I think Mahomes will. I just don't know if it'll be this year. But Andy Reid is as good at recognizing quarterback talent and shaping it into what he wants it to be as he is bad at holding together his coaching excellence in the postseason. I like Andy. He's not good at certain things. Postseason football is one of them. It's kind of a problem in a career. But I think he's an offensive genius. And we've seen guys come off that coaching tree lately. Doug Peterson, the best example. And good things have happened for the organizations that have realized you can get Andy Reid's tutelage without Andy Reid's, oh my God, it's the playoffs thing. But there are 16 games in 17 weeks before the postseason for the Chiefs to underperform. I think there's a real chance Mahomes, his confidence combined with Andy Reid's excellence in the regular season are going to make it work. Jimmy Garoppolo's an interesting one. Jimmy G is undefeated as a Niner. Kyle Shanahan is a remarkably talented coordinator, offensive mind, and I think head coach. We certainly saw his absence from Atlanta, what that meant. But the mantle and the crown of both being the face of a franchise and the scrutiny that comes with that, I'm not judging, I'm just saying, including being social with a well-known actress who's most famous for taking off her clothes and engaging in behavior that I'm not going to describe here on CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. What are you doing? Welcome to your new reality. Yes, you can go and have that date, but you're going to be extensively criticized, scrutinized for it. And that's not even football yet. You're also the guy that Tom Brady shipped out, that Tom Brady's ego couldn't handle. And you have all these Patriot fans saying, what we're doing, he's the future. That's its own kind of pressure. Some drama and that dynamic with the greatest QB of all time. All of that's going to make Garoppolo, I think, a really interesting case study in what is he? Because he doesn't get a year to figure it out. And the 5-0 thing last year, when he got traded, his undefeated run, I know people were looking past the Niners. I get it. It doesn't matter. A lot of pressure. Got to live up to everything that comes with not just being the face of a franchise, but the guy that maybe some Patriots fans think should have stuck around to replace Tom Brady sooner rather than later. All right, 855-212-4CBS is the phone number. 855-212-4CBS. Which quarterbacks are under the most pressure and who can handle it and who cannot? We'll take your phone calls here on the Jim Rome Show with me, Bill Ryder, fill-in host, in just a moment. Summer is here. So is the unbearably hot weather. Think about how much time we spend in the sun over the summer. We also spend a lot of time in our cars during the summer months. You know that heat can just drain the life out of you? Imagine what it's doing to your car. Summer heat can be draining on your vehicle's battery, even more so than the harsh winter months. Heat, more than cold, can shorten your battery's life. Rising temperatures can cause battery fluids to evaporate, leading to corrosion on cable clamps and terminals. You always want your car at its peak performance, so stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts now. Have your battery tested free of charge. Free! If it needs replacing, the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts will help you find the exact Superstart battery that fits your car or truck at a guaranteed low price. To find a store near you, visit O'ReillyAuto.com. That's O'ReillyAuto.com. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Tiger returns to Firestone for the first time since 2014. Enjoying the world's best, including Dustin Johnson, Ricky Fowler, Justin Thomas, Rory McIlroy, and Jordan Spieth at the World Golf Championships Bridgestone Invitational this weekend on CBS. Bill Rutter with you, filling in for Jim Rome. Thrilled to be here. Thanks for hanging out. 855-212-4CBS is the phone number, or you can tweet at me at SportsRider, Sports R-E-I-T-E-R. Beaks in Studio City has done just that. He has weighed in on what he views as the stress for Jimmy Garoppolo. He tweets at SportsRider, Sports R-E-I-T-E-R, Jimmy Garoppolo's junk is under the most pressure. A lot of pressure comes from different places, different forms, different things. Joe Flacco, the pressure of can he keep his job? Already got paid, already a multimillionaire, already a Super Bowl champion. Mitchell Trubisky, does he deserve to be a quarterback, a starting QB, the face of a franchise in the NFL? And as Beaks in Studio City so artfully put it, the various other things that go on out there. I know the guy I'm about to mention is the greatest quarterback of all time, at least for me. And I'm no Tom Brady fan. Don't get it twisted. I think he deflated footballs. I think that he can be insufferable. I think the notion of him sitting around with Alex Guerrero drinking smoothed down lemongrass with a pinch of sea salt or whatever's going on is a little weird. But he's the greatest quarterback to ever play the game, with all respect to Joe Montana or whoever you'd want to argue should be in that conversation. But he's obviously hell-bent on maintaining his place, which I respect. It's part of greatness. The reason some of these guys can't let go long after the game moves past them is because the voice inside their head that says they're wrong, you're great, they're haters, don't listen, is what got them there in the first place. You can't just turn that off. It's part of your makeup. And to Tom Brady's credit, he's still doing it. But there's some fraying now at the edges. And not necessarily his game. That will come. Guy won an MVP last year at 40. He turns 41, I think it's on Friday, and he's the betting favorite to be the most valuable player. But he's got some schism with Bill Belichick that's obvious, and Jimmy Garoppolo's gone as a result, went around his boss's back to have Jimmy G shipped out west, where Jimmy G could be the star far away from Brady. He's allowing documentaries to be made in an organization that wants the answer to every question to be no comment. Hey, Tom, Bill Ryder here from CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, filming for Jim Rome. I actually just need to know what time it is. No comment. No, I lost my watch. What time is it? No comment. That's what Bill Belichick wants. Nothing. Zero. Zilch. Facebook documentaries? No, thank you. And obviously the Guerrero thing, his personal trainer, his business partner, Tom Brady's close friend, has been banished from the Patriots facility. And you can hear here, because reporters are going to ask about this stuff, they're supposed to, you can hear Tom Brady's exasperation with the obvious answers, because Julian Edelman out, connected to Guerrero, blaming Guerrero, Brady's going to get asked about what's going on.
A lot of people connected it to Alex Guerrero. Just, what's your reaction to that? Do you think it's fair?
I have no comment. It's just ridiculous.
Tom,
I'm out.
What's not ridiculous is the concern, if you're a Patriots fan, that Brady will actually be out at some point permanently. I don't know when it's going to happen. I did not think Tom Brady could perform at the level that he has. I didn't think any quarterback could perform at this level at age 40. The goalposts are getting moved in a big way in terms of age and excellence in sports. But we do know, and this is certain, someday time is going to come for Tom Brady, and it's going to kick his you-know-what. It is. It's going to beat him down. And it may come very quickly and very harshly. If it happens in week 5, let's say, of this season, there's no Jimmy Garoppolo. Bill Belichick will not waste a moment's hesitation exacting revenge for Brady, showing him up a little bit, and people will turn on him. The Patriots way is a fancy term for two things, and they're interchangeable. One is the culture that has led to one of the great reigns in sports history, 20 years of domination and relevance. But it's also a synonym for Bill Belichick's ego. It's a good thing. You pay the price. But remember, Belichick used to be the guy that would go into film session, especially when new guys would come in and just crush Brady. It wasn't about destroying, ameliorating Brady's ego. It was about sending a message to the other guys, the team comes first. Brady's not having it anymore. And I'd imagine there's some pressure to live up to that, to make sure that the decisions he's made, Garoppolo going away, that it all gets brushed aside with the only thing that matters, and that's winning. Tom Brady goes out there at 41 years old and plays like an MVP, and the Patriots win 10 or 11 or 12 games. Whether they win the Super Bowl or they don't, they're good, they're relevant, they're where they're supposed to be. Life is beautiful for Tom Brady. If the wheels come off, it's going to be a vastly different situation. Another guy that I think is worth pointing out, we've talked about a little bit, but Deshaun Watson's really interesting because, and I guess Andrew Luck you could throw into this category. Luck, though, has already shown what he is. When Luck has been healthy, every year that Andrew Luck has played all 16 games, which is his first three seasons in the NFL, that team went 11-5 and made the postseason. When Luck has been unable to be on the field consistently, they've been 8-8, 8-8, and what, 4-12 last year. Didn't play at all last season. And so I get there's some pressure there to show what he can be. Deshaun Watson was mesmerizing in his short stint with the Texans. And the Texans have their own sort of cauldron of stress. I'm a Bill O'Brien guy. I know a lot of coaches don't come off the Bill Belichick tree and succeed. I think O'Brien's going to be the exception to the rule. He's had some political issues with the people in power in Houston. He won those. He's got his quarterback, the most dynamic young quarterback in the game last year until he got injured. Easy to forget. I know they only went 3-3 when Watson was healthy, but they played tough against Seattle when that still meant something in Seattle. They played tough against the Patriots, and they played tough against a Chiefs team that started the year 5-0. Deshaun Watson's a winner. Dabo was right. I'm not sure he's right about he's the Michael Jordan, but he's a stone-cold winner. They also get J.J. Watt back, second best, I think, defensive player in the game of football, and they're healthy all the way around. But Deshaun Watson's got to be able to do the things Deshaun Watson does. And he's not just he's an athletic specimen. He can also throw the football. He can stand in the pocket if he has to. But coming off injury, that level of greatness, that level of expectation, you got to live up to it. I actually had him on the CBS Sports HQ, which is where Brady Quinn also works, and Brady's going to join me about 10 minutes, streaming Sports Network. I have a show there Monday to Thursday, 4 Eastern. In fact, I have Drew Brees on the show tomorrow. Had Deshaun Watson on a couple months ago, and he admitted, he talked about it. He's like, yeah, I got to live up to these expectations. I'm ready to do it. I'm healthy. I'm going to get it done. But if he doesn't, there are concerns that'll start to creep in about his future, and Bill O'Brien won't make it. 9-7 ain't going to get it done. That Texan team has to be good. And it doesn't take long. It doesn't take long at all for celebrated quarterbacks to be dismissed. And these are different guys and for different reasons. But Jameis Winston last year, meh, and not exactly comporting himself in a way that instills a lot of confidence off the field. And Marcus Mariota, I know he had that really nice playoff game, comeback win against the Chiefs. The dude had 13 touchdowns and 15 interceptions. Those guys went from the future stars of the game to will they be the face of their franchise in a year. The worm turns quickly sometimes. I'm sure Deshaun Watson knows it. I'm going to ask Brady Quinn, former NFL quarterback, former Notre Dame quarterback, my colleague at CBS Sports, about this topic, and we'll just hit a bunch of NFL things. Brady's very candid, good dude, calls it like he sees it. So we'll talk to Brady Quinn here on the Jim Rome Show with me, Bill Ryder, filling in just a moment. But before we do that, let's get a CBS Sports Radio update.
Live from New York, this is the Jim Rome Show with guest host Bill Ryder on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome back into the show. Bill Ryder with you here on the program, filling in for Jim on this Wednesday. Want to go to one of the good guys in the business, former NFL quarterback, former Notre Dame quarterback, my colleague at CBS Sports HQ, and a proud new papa, Brady Quinn. Thank you and congratulations, man.
Thanks, Bill. I appreciate it, brother. How have you been?
I'm great. Have you slept in the last couple of weeks, or are you just like powering through?
You know, I was just out actually at the Fox seminars for NFL and college football, and you would think that I would have gotten some sleep, but with the time change and everything else, and obviously some of the more fun recreational activities, there were some late nights, and then I took a red eye to get back home. So I'm not sleeping while I'm at home with the newborn, but also then I'm putting myself through the punishment of taking red eyes just to get back to see them as soon as possible.
Brady Quinn here on the show, exhausted, but graciously making some time. Brady, I was just talking the last hour about which quarterbacks this upcoming NFL season are going to be under the most pressure. Curious if there's a name or two that pops into mind for you, veterans, young guys, returning from injury, whatever the case may be, NFL QBs this upcoming season under a lot of pressure.
Yeah, I think Joe Flacco is the first one that comes to mind, and that's apparent because they drafted a quarterback in the first round, you know, one that's won a Heisman Trophy, he's got a ton of talent, and I think it's a very drastic contrast compared to what, you know, Joe Flacco does. So it makes you, or at least gives you the sense that if that's going to happen, it's going to be a change, and I don't think they're going to be going back. So because of that, I think, you know, he's the one under the most pressure. His contract would be tough to get out from after this year, but with the disappointing seasons the Baltimore Ravens have experienced the last few years, he's probably the one that's feeling the most pressure to put up and get them back to a Super Bowl, at least back to the playoffs where they can have a better shot at competing for one. Outside of that, I kind of feel like it's Ryan Tannehill as well, you know, down in Miami.
That's
this
a good
probably,
one. Yeah.
This is probably his, you know, last year to make it or break it, and I think after this, and not only one is this contract a little easier to get out from under if they want to, but also it's just you kind of get that sense that it's just time. It's time to really see what they're capable of doing, even with all the adversity they faced last year, and he wasn't really a part of that at all, given his knee injury. But still, I mean, this is that year where he's got to prove it to his team. Otherwise, you could be looking at a different quarterback and come 2019.
Brady Quinn here on the show. Brady, a lot of interesting quarterback rooms around football this year. You mentioned Flacco and what's going to happen in Baltimore, out in Arizona with Rosen and Bradford, even in Philly with Foles and Wentz, Cleveland with those two guys, Tyrod Taylor, very well respected, obviously Baker Mayfield, number one overall quarterback. You yourself have been in some pretty interesting QB rooms. What's the key to those being comfortable and being conducive to winning football, whatever the politics and pressures and quarterback competitions that are the noise around everything else?
The head coach, the offensive coordinator and the quarterback coach have to make it very, very apparent who the guy is. And when I say guy, I mean the starter. They've got to set the tone right away, and they've got to make sure that everyone knows their roles. And that is communicated in the press. That's communicated by your offensive coordinator on your installs and the way you go about verbalizing things. When you speak, you know, you're speaking to your entire offense when you're up there as a play caller, but more so than others, you're speaking to that quarterback, and you're making sure that he knows he's the guy. Now, otherwise, when you kind of leave it up for interpretation, a few bad plays, a few bad games, that's when people all of a sudden start looking at the other guy. So it starts with the coaching staff. They've got to be very clear about who the guy is and what the plan is moving forward and make sure that whoever's number two, he understands that that's his role until they say otherwise. But he shouldn't be getting his hopes up because they're going to get the starter every opportunity, and once they choose to make a change, they're going to get that backup then when it's his time to start every opportunity as well.
Brady Quinn, who do you think will be the starting quarterback in Cleveland week six?
Tyrod Taylor. I really do believe this team has improved. I think we're selling Tyrod Taylor short of the fact that he took the Buffalo Bills to the playoffs last year. And working with a coach who benched him for a rookie quarterback who threw, six picks in the first half? I mean, he was able to overcome a lot. And so I think he's a better quarterback than we always want to give him credit. This might be the best supporting cast he's had in quite some time. And I think the Browns will be better as a group. So all those things point to me, to him being the quarterback, I think at least for the first half of the season. Now, they don't have an easy schedule, and it never helps when you got to start off with a team like Pittsburgh. But all that being said, I think he's good enough to help keep them competitive and help them possibly win more than, you know, a few games, which obviously they couldn't win any last year.
Interestingly, Tyrod Taylor doesn't qualify on the all-time list for this stat, but will by the end of the year if he plays every game. Would have, Brady Quinn, the best interception percentage in the history of football, 1.4%, better than even Aaron Rodgers. So he protects the football. That receiving core is pretty interesting. They brought in a running back, a lot of talent on that roster. What's the legitimate upside for the Browns? I mean, they've won a single game in the last 2 years. Can they pull a flip along the lines of what the Rams did last year?
Potentially. And I think, you know, having Todd Haley come in as your offensive coordinator and given his track record of success, that leads you to think that's possible. They've got a ton of talent at wide receiver. I mean, you'd like to see where Josh Gordon is going to be at. I think he could factor into that big time because he is a true number one when he's healthy and in the right state of mind. Corey Coleman can look good, and Joku needs to develop, and Jarvis Landry is going to be productive for you. But, you know, all those things considered, you still got to have that true number one that can go up and make some big-time plays for you. So that's why, you know, maybe there's something to the talks of Dez Bryant coming in, and maybe that says a lot about where Josh Gordon is at. But in regards to where they need to get to, it's tough because six wins is phenomenal compared to what they were a year ago, but it's still a losing record. And, you know, you're sitting there and you're saying to yourself, you know, what would that end up making them? 41? Is that what he'd be at that point in time in his career?
I'm bad at math, but it sounds right.
I'm sitting there looking at it saying, like, how could you sell that to your fan base moving forward? It seems tough. I'm always one for continuity and wanting to give these guys a more stable, you know, foundation with keeping a coach. So I don't know what that number is. I mean, that would be incredible success. It may not be enough. That's the tough part for Jimmy Haslam, is he may have to deal with maybe at best a 7-9 season, which is a dramatic turnaround. But I don't know if it's going to be enough for the fan base and for the media. And is he willing to stick through this tough period of time before they can potentially get to that bigger season coming in 2019? By hanging on to Hugh, or if they feel like they need to go somewhere else.
Brady Quinn here on the show. Brady, Vikings won a lot of games last year. Their defense is remarkable, maybe the best in the game. They've got some weapons for Kirk Cousins, although that offensive line's a little suspect. Case Keenum pressured the third most of any QB in the game last year. Are you a believer in Kirk Cousins and in Kirk Cousins living up to this massive guaranteed contract?
Well, let me say this. You know, pressure isn't so much about the offensive line. I think if the offensive line was bad, most teams would be able to get pressure without having to bring many blitzes, right? So a team bringing more blitz against Case Keenum had more to do with what they thought of Case Keenum than what they thought of the offensive line. I just think their offensive line play is all right. It's gotten better, especially with some of the additions they made before last season. But their biggest issue is they just need to keep their starter healthy. I mean, if history is going to repeat itself, Trevor Siemian is going to be the quarterback for the Minnesota Vikings at some point this year because that's what's happened the last 2 years. So they invested a lot of money into Kirk Cousins. I think he's a solid quarterback. I think he can help take him to the Super Bowl combined with their weapons in that defense. But the biggest thing is whether or not they just stay healthy. And the other sad thing you got to point out is, you know, how do they handle the pass against Tony Sperano? I mean, he's a great offensive line coach, a good mentor, and you know, leader, especially among the coaching staff in those rooms. You know, how do they handle that transition if you are going to sit there and talk about line play? Because it's not easy. And yeah, he was a coach that guys loved to play for. I got the chance to work with his son a little bit. You could tell the impact his dad had on him. So that unfortunately is something that, you know, is completely out of the player's control and the coach staff's control, but definitely a hurdle they're going to have to get past.
Brady Quinn here on the show. Brady, excuse me. I sound like Tom Brady trying to run away from a question about Alex Guerrero. Are you concerned, if you're a Patriots fan, about the culture and the things that are going on in New England right now?
No. Not at all. I mean, I think until maybe if we stop seeing them make the playoffs and win the AFC East, go into the Super Bowl, maybe at that point I'd be concerned. I mean, it seems like regardless of what anyone wants to make of the drama on the outside or what the tea leaves are saying from either players or their front office, whatever the case may be, they still are having success. So I don't know why we have to sensationalize everything that happens. You know, we have families. You tend to fight, you know, more aggressive with your family than you do other people because you love and you care about them more. And, you know, let's think about this run they've been on. At some point, there are going to be some frustration. There's going to be some, you know, people or some things that become public that were private in the past. And these guys have been together for a long time. It's 2018. When they win their first Super Bowl together as a group, was it 2001 with Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. I mean, that's a long run that they've been on. And to have that much success and not have really any sort of, public nitpicking and back and forth and all that. I mean, they've been able to keep that culture intact for a long time. So it's not surprising what it's been this long, and now we're starting to hear a little bit. But still, they're having so much success, so I'm not concerned at all.
Brady Quinn here on the show. Brady, do you understand the helmet rule well enough to explain exactly how, if you were playing, you would assume and presume it will be implemented?
The quick answer is no, because I need to see it applied by all the different officiating groups. You know, sitting through a seminar where the NFL came in and presented, Al Riveron talked to us at the Fox seminar for NFL on Fox, and, you know, looking at the plays that would equate to an ejection, that's pretty clear, you know, and you're going to see it, and this is the easiest way to be able to tell, is when a defender, primarily a defender, has a clear pass, and he's going to hit a player, and he's going to lower his helmet to initiate that contact and strike him with the crown of his helmet. And the definition of the crown of the helmet is, think about putting a bowl of soup, like a bowl on top of your head, putting that bowl on top of your head and then drawing that 360 degrees all the way around. That's essentially the area in the helmet they're referring to. So picture a guy, a defensive back linebacker, getting a running start, maybe a five-yard start, a clear path, or he's unobstructed, doesn't try to change his course or change the way he's going to hit this player, and then lower his helmet to initiate contact with the crown of the helmet. That's going to be ejection, right? That's easy to tell from the plays and the presentation we saw from Al Riveron. That's easy. The hard part is the penalty that comes in for a player then using his helmet, the crown of his helmet in particular, to initiate contact. That could be an offensive player. They showed an example, actually, of Ezekiel Elliott in a game that I actually thought was pretty subjective. I'm not sure that I would have saw that in real time. You had to slow it down in order to be able to see it. And then you saw some other plays where you understood the rule and how it's going to play out. I just think the difficulty is, in real time, to see it at not just, you know, the in the secondary level, linebacker level, but at the line of play as well, to be able to see it, officiate it in a consistent, efficient manner, to me it's going to be incredibly difficult to do.
Brady Quinn here on the show. Brady, before we let you run, Brett McMurphy is reporting, he's going to be on the show in about 30 minutes, that he has text messages that prove that Urban Meyer lied about knowing, that Urban Meyer did know and lied about it, about allegations against one of his former, recently fired assistant coaches. Now, this is a developing story. We don't have a lot of details. Brett used to work, obviously, for ESPN, is going to Stadium, but is solo right now, so he reported this on his Facebook page. If it's true, and it's an if, but if the reporting is true, if the reporting is accurate, if Urban Meyer lied about knowledge about allegations of domestic abuse by one of his former coaches, do you think in this climate today that that is a scenario that could lead to Urban Meyer not being the head football coach at Ohio State this season?
In this climate, I mean, of course, I don't know that it would necessarily happen this season. I mean, it depends how everything would work out. I mean, we're talking about something that's being dropped right before the beginning of it, and typically these sorts of things, to me, they don't happen very swiftly. I think there's usually investigations done. There's more people who are going to report on it and bring to light more of the facts to all of it. So does it have the potential to in this climate right now in this country? Of course, but I tend to think these things take a little bit longer. And my thing is, you know, Brett McMurphy is doing a good job finding out all the details and everything that's coming, but it is one-sided, right? He's getting most of his information from, it sounds like, Courtney Smith, and he's not really getting anything from Urban Meyer. And I think that has a little bit to do with the fact that those two don't like each other. And I don't know if Brett would ever admit that, but it's kind of well-known a little bit from his time in Florida that Brett McMurphy, and I don't know that Urban got along too well. But all that being said, I think the other point to all this is, does it matter whether or not he had those text messages? I think most people, when they heard that him make the statement that he didn't know, they probably thought to themselves, man, this is a guy who knows everything about his football program, and he didn't know about this incident back in 2015. It seems kind of unlikely. So I think in the first place, people were skeptical with what he said at the press conference as it was.
Brady, you move through life as a celebrity, like a lot of people we talk about on the show, like Urban Meyer. Do you have any sense of why guys like Urban don't realize that if there are text messages in 2018, there aren't a lot of secrets? It's hard, if it's true, to keep these things quiet. I'm baffled at the continuation of people in that position not realizing those things don't often stay secret.
I don't know how they go about messaging. Sometimes these big universities or celebrities have people helping them with messaging. And I don't know who's behind it. I don't know if someone's directing him to say these certain things, or maybe they feel good about what they have. I have no idea. But I do think in this day and age, we tend to be pretty forgiving. So if you did make a mistake, owning up to it early on is typically better than trying to cover your tracks later on and trying to lie about something if there is proof out there.
Brady Quinn, buddy, it's always great having you on. Appreciate you coming on the Jim Rome Show. Get some sleep. Congratulations. Thanks for making the time.
Anytime, Bill. Always a pleasure, buddy.
Thanks, buddy. Brady Quinn, former NFL quarterback, former Notre Dame quarterback. I can't even imagine. I remember when my two kids, Madeline and Henry, each of them were born. And Lori, if you're listening, I love you, and I'm sorry, my wife. I used to go on the road just to sleep. You really have to go to Chiefs training game? Oh, yeah. Big story up there with Matt Cassel. Definitely gotta go up to Wisconsin for this baby. But Brady's great, but the pro move is to go on the road and sleep when you got a newborn. So when you go home, you can help out. Appreciate Brady making some time. The Urban Meyer story, it is developing. Brett Murphy has reported he has text messages that show that Urban lied about allegations of domestic violence, his knowledge of them against one of his assistant coaches. And here on the Jim Rome Show, we are going to bring you straight from the guy who broke the story what's going on. Brett McMurphy going to join me in about 20 minutes. We'll get into that and the merging of Vegas and the NBA next here on CBS Sports Radio.